Chapter 22, the marriage of Karadama Muni and Devahuti. Text 33. Yes. Sabharya. Sabraja. Sangiyamana Sat Kirti Sastribi Sura Gayakai Pranti Ushesh Arubadena Sabharya Sapraja Kaman Bobo Jenya Virodata Sangiyamana Satkirti Sastribi Suragayakai Shvanubadena Hriday Hriday Srinivan Harekata Sabharya Sapraja Kama Bobo Jenya Virodata Sangiyamana Satkirti Sastri Besura Gayakai Pratyusheshvam Padena Riddashrinvan Harekata Sabharya Sapraja Kama Bobo Jenya Virodhata Sangiyamana Satkirti Sastri Misura Gayakai Pratyusheshvam Padena Shrinvan Hare Kata
Sabhaya Sabhaya Sabhaya
Sabhaya Sabhaya
Sadhguru Sadhguru
as it is in heaven. Rajasheshvarabhadena Yogasvarabhadena Sabarya. Along with his wife Sakaja, along with his subjects, Kaman, the necessities of life, Bhuboje, he enjoyed, Anya, from others, Avirodhata, without disturbance, Sangiyamana, being praised, Satkirti, reputation for pious activities, Sastribi, along with their wives, Suragayakai, by celestial musicians, Prati Ushesho, at every dawn, Anubhadena, being attached, Prida, with the heart, Shrinvan, listening to Hare, of Lord Hari, Kata, the topics. Translation. Emperor Swayambhuva Manan enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process of religion. Celestial musicians and their wives sang in chorus about the pure reputation of the emperor. And early in the morning every day, he used to listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a fairly extensive purport, so please give your attention. Human society is actually meant for realization of perfection in Krishna consciousness. There is no restriction against living with a wife and children, but life should be so conducted that one may not go against the principles of religion, economic development, regulated sense enjoyment, and ultimately liberation from material existence. The Vedic principles are designed in such a way that the conditioned souls who have come to this material existence may be guided in fulfilling their material desires and at the same time be liberated and go back to Godhead back home. It is understood that Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed his household life by following these principles. It is stated here that early in the morning there were musicians who used to sing with musical instruments about the glories of the Lord. And the emperor with his family personally used to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Person. This custom is still prevalent in India in some of the royal families and temples. Professional musicians sing with shanais, and the sleeping members of the house gradually get up from their beds in a pleasing atmosphere. During bedtime also, the singers sing songs in relationship with the pastimes of the Lord, with shanai accompaniment, and the householders gradually fall asleep, remembering the glories of the Lord. In every house, in addition to the singing program, there is an arrangement for Bhagavatam lectures in the evening. Family members sit down, hold Hare Krishna Kirtan, hear narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and enjoy music before going to bed. The atmosphere created by the Sankirtan movement lives in their hearts, and while sleeping, they also dream of the singing and glorification of the Lord. In such a way, perfection of Krishna consciousness can be attained. This practice is very old, as learned from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Millions of years ago, Swayambhuva Muni used to avail himself of this opportunity to live householder life in the peace and prosperity of a Krishna-conscious atmosphere. As far as temples are concerned, in each and every royal palace or rich man's house, inevitably there's a nice temple, and the members of the household rise early in the morning and go to the temple to see the Mangal Arati ceremony. The Mangal Arati ceremony is the first worship of the morning. In the Arati ceremony, a light is offered in circles before the deities, as are a conch shell and flowers and a fan. The Lord is supposed to rise early in the morning and take some light refreshment and give audience to the devotees. The devotees then go back to the house or sing the glories of the Lord in the temple. The early morning ceremony still takes place in Indian temples and palaces. Temples are meant for the assembly of the general public. Temples within the palaces are especially for the royal families, but in many of these palace temples, the public is also allowed to visit. The temple of the king of Jaipur is situated within the palace, but the public is allowed to assemble. If one goes there, he will see that the temple is always crowded with at least 500 devotees. After the Mangal Arati ceremony, they sit down together and sing the glories of the Lord with musical instruments and thus enjoy life. Temple worship by the royal family is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where it is stated that those who fail to achieve success in the Bhakti Yoga principles within one life are given a chance to take birth in the next life in a family of rich men or in a royal family or family of learned Brahmins or devotees. If one gets the opportunity to take birth in these families, he can achieve the facilities of a Krishna-conscious atmosphere without difficulty. A child born in that Krishna atmosphere is sure to develop Krishna consciousness. The perfection which he failed to attain in his last life is again offered in this life, and he can make himself perfect without fail. Sabarya saprajakama bubuje nya virodhita Sankiyamana Satkirti Saskini Suragayakai Prakrisheshvam Bhadena Hridashvam Harekata. Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process of religion. Celestial musicians and their wives sang in chorus about the pure reputation of the emperor. And early in the morning, every day, he used to listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshashunyavadi Vasacharya Chaitanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasani Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vajkantrubhyas Jagripas Sindhu Vyavaja Padidana Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavavya Namo Namaha. Sound is all right? Mahaprabhu Kriya. It's okay? All right. One moment. Yes. So, yesterday, His Holiness Kadapa Khan in the marriage gave an introduction to this verse of the book. Sri, Sri, Radha, Radha, Sri Giri Govinda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yeah, about the culture. It's very interesting, of course, and in many ways it's very beautiful how devotees, how everyone in Narishmati was living this sort of life under the supervision, guidance of Swami Manu, and he and everyone, but particularly, of course, it's mentioned he as the king. He was living in great opulence, great comfort, beyond what we have experienced of, even perhaps what we can really imagine. When Srila Prabhupada went to London, you know, at that time, well, England, of course, had been ruling India, but, you know, whatever, some 15 years before, 20 years maybe, 20 years, then they gave it up. But the British had a reputation, like Prabhupada said about Nehru, the first Prime Minister of India, that he was very much a made in England man. If things were made in England, they were good. And if things were just locally made in India, it was all very, you know, not to be taken so seriously. So, yeah. So the British were meant to be really very advanced and opulent and so on. And of course in India there were, and there still are, many palaces, really extensive palaces that take, if you go and visit them, some of them take a whole day to walk around and you're exhausted by the end. Prabhupada, when he came to London, he first saw Buckingham Palace, and Prabhupada said he wondered, what is this? He was not impressed. He was expecting something much more substantial and opulent, like what he had been used to in India. Well, anyway, that's one thing. That's an interesting point, actually. But the culture, the way of life, the consciousness of the people in those days was, on one hand, they were living in great opulence. Even the children, like in Krishna's pastimes, and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also, we see that the children, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, they might be running around even naked, actually, as little children, but they would have some jewelry on, some earrings or necklace, something. They would have on, and it would be real. Not just some plastic decoration, but it would be real, solid gold with gems on the little children. What to speak of the adults? And they, you know, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they were the king and queen of the Vaishyas there, of the cowherds in Vrindavan. But they were not like Swayambhuvamana in terms of wealth, or the Pandavas, the ruling, the Kshatriyas. They were not on that level at all. They were country folk, and they were living relatively simple lives with the cows, but they had great opulence. Generally speaking, greater opulence than even the wealthy, wealthy people have nowadays. And like we said, even the children in the farming families, what to speak of the Kshatriya families, ruling class. Yeah, so great opulence was there. And at the same time, a sort of, maybe not exactly leisurely lifestyle, but certainly the lifestyle was not the hectic lifestyle that even a simple sudra nowadays has to follow in order just to maintain. Yeah, it was a much easier lifestyle. A much easier lifestyle. So that was there on one side. And on the other side was the great piety and religiousness, or actually Krishna consciousness, which was all pervasive. And at the head of which was Swayambhuvamana, and of course his Brahman associates and advisors like that. So they were following very religious or very Krishna conscious way of life, including in different, you could say, formal or ceremonial types of activities, which are not simply formal or ceremonial, they're very deep spiritual relationships with the Supreme Lord. But all that was going on in the context of this great opulence and great piety and extremely good behavior, very, very cultured in terms of the interpersonal dealings and just the whole way of life. And so it was very wonderful, and it was very beautiful, as we've read here in the verse, and particularly in the purport. Srila Prabhupada goes to great length to give examples and to clarify how amazing was the situation. Great Krishna consciousness and great, very highly developed character of personality, but at the same time, materially, great success, you could say, living in great opulence, and not having to take part in the rat race. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, he heard this term, rat race, and he appreciated it in terms of how things were working there. Because it's bad enough here in South Africa, normally, but in America and Europe, but particularly America, it's really much worse in terms of having to travel to work and work long hours, and then travel back from work. And by the time you get back, you are finished, and then you eat something, and maybe you take some pills to avoid heartburn because you're eating late and you've been through so much stress during the day, and then you just collapse. Or maybe you sit in front of television And as Prabhupada elsewhere says, they sit in front of television and they fall asleep in front of television. And what is this? What is this? So the term the rat race, this of course is a term which is current and has been for many years in Western society, that despite their disqualifications in so many ways, but at least they do have some understanding that this is just not the right way for people to live. But we are sort of, you know, we are tied, locked into this system, so we also, we have to live like that. In the rat race, working like a dog, this is also coming from Western society, some realization, but not enough realization to get them to stop and really to find some alternative. So we mentioned the other day, actually, how Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan mentions that when people, well, at least it often happens, that when people are in the mode of goodness, then their natural characteristics, of course, of the mode of goodness, which are really quite different from the characteristics of passion and particularly ignorance, characteristics like happiness, without making great endeavor, just happiness, the atmosphere is one of happiness, and you just get into that and you get picked up and you become happy. And knowledge, and of course piety, these things are there. When a person is in the mode of goodness, and as a result, well, the happiness is part of it, but as a result, Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan says, there's so much happiness that they become very attached to it, and they feel they don't want to lose it. And so instead of just following the way of life as it is, they start making plans. How will I maintain my happiness? How may I even perhaps increase it a bit? So they do like that. And this concern that I must maintain this happiness and possibly increase it, this concern increases and increases, at least in many cases. And as a result, they become impelled into, just step by step, it may be a very gradual, slow process, or maybe not also, but it may be just a very slow process. They gradually get into the mode of passion based on the idea that this happiness in the mode of goodness is so nice. I love this happiness, and I don't want to lose it. And then starting to make, you could say, some extraneous efforts outside of the normal program of the mode of goodness to maintain the happiness, then they fall down into passion. And once you've fallen into passion, well, life becomes different. It really becomes different. So, here Swayambhuva Manu and his subjects, their desires were fulfilled. They were not lacking. Like, oh, I want to get that. How am I going to get that? Something for happiness. And making some great efforts to get that. And then I may get it. And that when I get it, I find it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. This is characteristic of the mode of passion, that life, the world, looks very enjoyable. So many things, and people even, and creatures even, that look very enjoyable. And so therefore I have an enthusiasm, a drive to get these things and then go through a process of enjoying them with my senses. And I'm expecting, oh, at the end, oh, there'll be happiness. But because material sense gratification is not, it just doesn't have the capacity, the capability to satisfy the deeper desires of the heart, of the soul. Therefore, at least in so many cases, if not all, but at least in so many cases, some frustration is there, or even great frustration is there in becoming rich and famous. You know, George Harrison told the devotees, and he just made it well known, and he told us when we visited him at the end of 1979, how he was a member of the Beatles, and they were the most successful thing that had happened in, you know, for a long time, for an awfully long time. And they became rich. George Harrison was asked, has all this money that you're making affected you? And they were like sort of comedians in their own ways. And George Harrison said, yes, it's made me a lot richer. But anyway, so this incredible fame, can you imagine being chased down the streets? Can you imagine you being chased? I mean, really chased down the streets by people who, they just want to touch you. Really, they just want to touch you. And if they can get a sort of some souvenir, rip some clothing off you, or seriously, rip some of your hair out, wow, this is just the best day of their lives. Really, it was actually like that. And there were many times they had to run. There were many times they had to run to escape, and sometimes they didn't escape, and they just came out sort of, you know, a bit worse for wear. So, yeah, it was, you know, what a position, what a position. When you walk into a room, everything stops. And everyone just looks at you. Yeah, and he told us that at one time, somehow a rumor happened that the Beatles like jelly babies. You know what a jelly baby is? You know, a little, one of these little sort of rubbery sweets. I'm sure it's made of gelatin, you know, with some flavoring and sugar, but it looks a little bit like a little person. So there was this rumor. So he said, there they were playing on stage, and suddenly, bang, 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 these jelly babies. And people were really throwing them. And he said, we were lucky not to lose an eye. You know, because, yeah, of the impact. So what a position to be in, of extreme success, extreme material success. But he said that after a while, after their last tour of America, all of them sat together, and one of them, it might have been himself, said, you know, I just can't do this any longer. It's too much. I just want out of the whole way of life. And the other said, yeah, we're thinking exactly the same. So it's like that. People would think that, you know, someone as rich and famous as them, what a life, if only I could be like that. But it's all part of the mode of passion, well, and ignorance too, but a lot of passion. But the end result was just deep frustration. So this happens. And it's very interesting to see how people could have maintained such an opulent and powerful lifestyle, but be in the mode of goodness. And not just in the mode of goodness, but actually be devotees. And real, like very advanced devotees. So it can be done. It can be done. But the people in general, one thing I noticed, and I'm sure some of you others noticed, the government has made a 5-stage plan for sort of reactivating South African society. And at different stages, different things which are right now currently forbidden, you'll be able to do them. And as you go from stage to stage, you can do more. And eventually you'll be able to fly internationally. That's stage 5, I think. Or stage 1. Oh, yeah, it's around the other way. It's stage 1. We're in stage 5. It's the most extremely restricted. So you will be able to travel internationally. But also there at stage 5, if I remember correctly, is religious programs can happen. Isn't it? Or is it 2?
Stage 1.
It is stage 1. Yeah. Only at the end, where everything is sorted out and we're back to normal like that. Then religious activity can happen. But, you know, you fools, you got into this situation because of your lack of religiosity. You did. They did. That's how it happened. You know, it's from some sort of meat eating, even some sort of unusual meat eating bats. Hare Krishna. Say no more. That's how they got into the situation. The impiety, the lack of religiosity and the lack of knowledge, the lack of Krishna consciousness is extreme. That's how they got into that situation. And unfortunately, we've been dragged into it along with them. Every cloud has a silver lining, so we are actually finding some very nice things, some extremely nice things. But still, it's like that. And the last consideration, not the first, the last, is religion, our relationship with God. Whereas in this sort of society, as Swayambhuva Manu, it's the first consideration. It's the first thing. Beyond even just being pious, to be Krishna conscious is the first thing. And that's how it should be in life, for life to become successful. Otherwise, you know, they're trying in their own ways, they're trying very hard to sort things out and make things, you could say, auspicious again. But in due course, even if it becomes more auspicious for a while, after some time, but then don't worry. Don't worry. It's not a question of if. It's just a question of when some other crisis will happen. And it may be an even worse crisis than this. No one imagined, at least I never imagined, that there'd be a crisis like this. It's beyond anything I ever thought of. Okay. It's beyond, yeah, so I got to just change over Instagram. Just give us a moment. Yeah, I never thought it would come to this. Prabhupada talked about things like this, but, you know, I didn't think it would happen like this. So anyway, yeah, don't worry. The next one. Haribol. Whoa. Let's see what Durga Devi has in store. And Yamaraj. Yeah, so like a very prime example is Ravana. Oops. A very prime example is Ravana, who was a highly educated person. Okay. A very good example of, you know, thinking that religion, who needs religion? Let's just go for it and get what we want. A prime example is Ravana. He was a jnani. He knew the Vedic scriptures in great depth. And he was attracted. Let's go to the heavenly planets. Let's increase our material facility and enjoyment. Let's do it. But even particularly he had in mind, let's go to the moon, because the moon is a heavenly planet. It's much better than Earth, the Vedic scriptures describe. And that he heard it from the Vedic scriptures. But then he thought, how, you know, the moon, it's so much better materially. But how are we going to do it? Are we going to go through some religious process of worship or whatever? And then eventually we'll go, maybe next lifetime. He thought, no. And he wanted to build a staircase to the heavenly planets, to the moon. A staircase, direct approach, and not to have to go through the trouble and, you know, of performing some serious religious program. So somehow or other, this has happened in Western society, because Western society previously was much more religious than it is now. There, when I was young, my parents had a Punch magazine, British humorous magazine, sort of serious humorous, one copy. I must have read it about 30 or 40 times, at least looked at the cartoons, because they were really good. So in this one cartoon, there are these people with two groups of people with placards, and they're, you know, it's some sort of demonstration, two opposing parties. So they confront each other, then suddenly they start beating each other, and it's a big fight. And two people are watching in the cartoon, little comic strip. And one says to the other, you know, in the good old days, this would have been about religion. It was about some trade union, something, or whatever, some political protest or whatever. Yeah, because they used to take it so seriously in their very seriously misguided way. For example, Catholicism was the religion of Europe, and if you deviated, they'd kill you. The Inquisitions, and thousands were killed simply because they went against the Catholic teachings and developed some other ideas. In fact, the Pope at one time declared the whole population of Holland to be, I forget the actual term, but, you know, they're religiously off, because it became Protestant, one of the early places to become Protestant. And so he gave an order: the population of Holland must all be killed. Hurry, Bob. Really? So religion was such a big thing. In whatever way, a very misguided way, but at least it was there. But after a while, it seems they figured it out. This is not working. We're not getting what, you know, the mercy and the blessings and the opulence that we're hoping to get from our religious practices. So let's just take the direct route. And let's just exploit material nature and each other. And in this way, we'll get the happiness, enjoyment we're looking for. But the problem, there's so many problems with that. But one of them is the character of people becomes corrupted. And they become worse people. Really worse people. So this is what life is like now in the Western world. And of course it's becoming all pervasive actually on this planet. But here we see Swayambhuvamana is enjoying greater opulence than they have now, except maybe for a very few, and probably a lot more than even the Bill Gateses and whoever else are rich these days. Probably more, but even the simple people, on their children there was jewelry. On their children. And you can imagine, you know what little children are like? They lose things, among many other things. They're good at losing things. Oh, I lost that, you know, what? Pearl earring you gave me. I don't know what happened to it. Oh, don't worry, we'll get you another one. But they were, you could say, in a position to do like that. But the basis of it was Krishna consciousness. Not just a Protestant work ethic, or even a Krishna conscious work ethic, or just work hard and get as much as you can. And if you work hard and get a lot, then there's nothing wrong with having done that. So everyone should learn from this, and we should preach. We must preach. And of course we're trying, but we must preach more and just carry on. And try to get this idea through to the people's minds. That actually, if you want to enjoy life, that's what the verse says, Prabhupada's translated, Swayambhuvamana enjoyed life with his wife. He was not living some sort of austere life. He was enjoying life with his wife and his children in a very nice state of Krishna consciousness. So somehow we have to try to get that idea through. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Maharaj, words of wisdom, correction. Jagannath, you usually have something to say. It's all right.
No, no, no. I would say that, like, for instance, when you say you are eating birds, that you are actually not eating beetles. Like, there's many, many patients who use now the Chinese people basically eating beetles.
Eating beetles?
Babies who are not yet born.
Oh, babies. Haribo. It's Kali Yuga. Yeah, Kaliya Doshani Day. It's an ocean of thought, and the ocean is increasing. Yeah. Okay. Ah, all right. Yes. Well, that's true. Yeah. We should do everything horrible. So the question is, that's in Krishna consciousness, some appreciation comes from the devotees. Sometimes, you know, of course, some devotees, they get tremendous appreciation. And there's a possibility of becoming attached to that I like to be, I want to be appreciated. I'm looking for appreciation. You know, it means some corruption of consciousness has happened. So how to avoid that? What to do? Well, the thing is, basically at least the thing is, that we should understand that Krishna is overseeing our life, our lives, and if he feels that we are trying in ways which he feels are suitable, like, you know, relatively sincere ways to serve him, then he will allow us to be successful. And that success will be seen by others and appreciated by others. And, of course, they're very nice people. They won't become envious, generally, but rather they'll express the appreciation. They'll express the appreciation. But we have to keep in mind, or get in mind, first of all, and then keep in mind that whatever success we have, it's simply coming by the grace of Krishna. It's not because of my qualification. If I am manifesting a qualification and thereby success is coming, then that qualification has just been given to me or loaned to me by Krishna. And therefore, you know, all glories to Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada, all glories to the spiritual master. It's just through their mercy that ability is coming, and then success is coming. So we have to be able to attribute it back to where it came from, which is simply a matter of recognizing the fact. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, a lame man can climb mountains. It's not through his ability, it's through Lord Chaitanya's mercy. A blind man may see the stars in the sky, and a child may understand the conclusive truths of the Vedic literatures. So we have to recognize that and celebrate that. Yeah, and be very grateful for that. And then, like Srila Prabhupada, he was so extremely successful himself. You know, the Beatles had many fans, okay. But Prabhupada had more than fans. Prabhupada had people, at least a few thousand people, who would just give him their lives. Just give up everything and live, you know, in those days particularly, practically on nothing, just to please him and to serve him. But Prabhupada remained extremely humble and just, you know, like unbelievably humble, actually, when it would really manifest under certain circumstances. Yes. I had thought of something else, but anyway, that's some ideas. What do you think?
I'm just thinking that when Ramananda Rao was also his greatest fan, he said, to be honest, the equity of Krishna.
Okay.
Right. But I guess the concept of what is the devotee is important. What's your mindset, what's your consciousness? But that is actually fame. If you think that how many followers, how many likes I get on my posts on Facebook, this is that.
Yeah, so sort of Damodar Prabhu, learned devotee, said that, yeah, if we become attached to how many likes we get on Facebook, how many people watch us on Instagram Live and Facebook Live, and we become attached, oh, we must get more. Of course, you know, we can think that we must get more, in the sense of giving people Krishna consciousness. We've got now on I think they're devices, that's the way I see it. We've got 273 right now. 274! Oh, it's 275 now! And so if we get into it in that sense, then it's a corruption. But we should try to be successful. We should try to be very successful in Krishna consciousness, but with that sort of attitude. And if we keep that attitude and keep it and develop it even further, then Krishna will give more mercy, a bit more ability and mercy and intelligence and success. Yeah. So, well, yeah, what I was going to say. I remember when I was a new devotee back in those days, as I have said many times. Anyway, I won't say it again, but when I was a really new devotee, you know, life was different to what it is in Radharadnath Temple now, or just normally in Radharadnath Temple. There were different philosophies floating around, like sub-philosophies, you know, what would, extrapolations on certain Krishna conscious points. And one such philosophy was that, I could mention a couple. One was like that. You should try not to be too successful. Yeah. Because then you'll get fame, and then that's big trouble. And another one was, what was the other one? that, oh yes, oh definitely, avoid doing any service you like. Oh really, that was a philosophy, it was there. It's the 19th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you like doing, you know, whatever it may be, cooking, singing, doing pujari service, whatever, anything, preaching, avoid it. If you like it, if you're good at it, if you enjoy it, enjoy. Don't do it. Make a point. Make a point of finding the service which is the most difficult and sort of unattractive and unappetizing. And then you'll make advancement. Because otherwise you'll become attached. You know, of course, in that sense, we don't want to become attached. But that shouldn't be our criterion for accepting a service or not. Yes, yes, that's true. Prabhupada, when people would come to visit him, he would often, regularly, explain how the movement's developing, how people are taking to it, how many books are being distributed, how much money is coming in. Yeah, oh yeah, every day we're making so many lakhs. Yeah, but it was in the... Well, he was presenting it to those people who are, you know, in many cases not devotees at all, but so they'll become impressed. Oh, Krishna consciousness, this is something to be taken seriously here. It's not just some, you know, little thing. Let me close by telling you a little story. There was a devotee, German, or I think he was Czech actually, but he ended up in Germany. And his name was Dwarikadish. He was a disciple of Prabhupada. Unfortunately, after some time, he left ISKCON, and then he died. But, you know, I knew him in Prabhupada's time. They would come from Germany to England. So I knew him. He was very nice. Well, he was preaching in communist, you know, the Soviet Union. He was preaching. And he got caught in East Berlin, in East Germany, I think in East Berlin itself, which was just part of the communist bloc. So the police brought him in and they started interrogating him. And they said, So, you're Hare Krishna, yeah? Yes, I'm Hare Krishna. And the policeman said, you know, I have been to West Germany. How many Hare Krishnas do you have in West Germany? At the time, there were less than 100. There were about 80 Hare Krishnas in Germany. But Dwarikadish, he thought, I cannot tell the policeman this, because then he'll think we're just nobodies, and they'll just lock me up and throw away the key. So he said, okay, I've got to exaggerate. So he said, yeah, in West Germany, we have 5,000 Hare Krishnas. And the policeman said, what? Is that all? Really? Oh, I thought there were many more. I see you people everywhere. And then they released him. And he was quite convinced. The fellow didn't say, but he was quite convinced they released him because they thought, you know, this is a big organization. We don't want to get into some controversy and So it served a purpose in Krishna consciousness.